Schneps Media is proud to present a series of Long Island congressional candidate forums sponsored by AARP New York, so you can be more informed as you cast your vote on November 5th, 2024. On this episode of Schneps Connects, we're joined by Congressmember Anthony D'Esposito, who is now running as the Republican candidate for Congress's 4th District of New York. The district encompasses the town of Hempstead and the city of Long Beach, Long Island. So, Anthony, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So I'd love for you just to share your background and experience for our listeners and viewers.
Sure. So I grew up in the district, born and raised in Island Park. I attended Chaminade High School and Hofstra University, and after that went on to the New York City Police Department. Had an excellent career in the NYPD, rising the ranks, and eventually retiring as a highly decorated detective with over 600 arrests, most of them felonies having to do with dismantling gangs, taking hundreds of illegal guns off the streets, and protecting those most vulnerable. And in 2016, I was given the opportunity to run for the Hempstead Town Board. And I served on the Hempstead Town Board as a councilman from 2016 to 2022. In 2022, there was an open seat in New York's 4th Congressional District. It was one that has been in Democrat hands for about 25 to 30 years. It is a seat that in 2020, the Republican presidential nominee lost it by 16.5 points. It was really looked at as a seat that Republicans could never win. But in 2022, we proved them wrong. And I think that has a lot to do with the work that I've done, whether it be as a decorated New York City detective. I'm a former chief of the fire department where I grew up. And my job as a Hempstead Town Councilman, I made myself available always. I worked in a bipartisan fashion to deliver tax cuts to make life more affordable for those here in America's largest town. And I've always been on the front line of standing up for what I believe is right. And I think that that has been critically important. It's enabled me to garner the trust of not just conservative Republicans, but Democrats and independents too. In a district like mine, where there are 70,000 more Democrats than Republicans, the only way that I win a seat like this 2 years ago is by making sure that I'm not just supported by Republicans and conservatives, but that Democrats and independents, they trust me and they know that I am going to be their voice and work as hard as I can for them and their loved ones.
Well, you've touched on certainly some of your accomplishments and some of the things that you've accomplished as a current Congress member. What are three of the most important issues that you're focused on now, particularly during the campaign, and your stance on each of those?
Sure. So I've always been focused very heavily on securing the border. I think that under the Biden and Harris administration, we've seen one of the biggest disasters that this country has ever seen, allowing upwards of 15 million people into this country illegally. I sit on the House Homeland Security Committee, and just last week we were briefed that of those 15 million, over 400,000 of the people who have come into this country illegally are convicted criminals from their country of origin. There are 13,099 individuals that we can identify that crossed our southern border who are convicted of murder in their country of origin, and another over 200,000 who were convicted of sexual assault in their country of origin. So when I got to Washington, D.C. in January of 2023, I immediately got to work living out the promises that I made in my campaign, and that was to secure the border. And we passed H.R. 2, the Secure the Border Act, which was one of the most comprehensive border security bills that this country has ever seen. But unfortunately, that legislation went over to the Senate and the Democrats completely ignored it. In fact, in 2022, when I debated my opponent, who is my opponent again, she told me that I was fear-mongering when talking about the border. And now suddenly, 2 years later, she tries to lie to the voters, basically claiming that she wants to be the next border czar. We saw and we have seen what the Democratic border czar has done to this country, and she was the architect of this disaster. Secondly is the economy, and I've been a loud voice on restoring SALT to make sure that both those that are looking to stay here and purchase a home for the first time or our seniors, that their lives are more affordable. And we put legislation on the floor months back that would have eliminated the marriage penalty. We've made it very clear that we want to take steps to make life more affordable and restore that SALT deduction. And unfortunately, we put that legislation on the floor and every single Democrat from New York voted against restoring a portion of the SALT deduction. And it's been an uphill fight. And I'll be very honest, it's been a fight in both my own party and the other side of the aisle. But I think that we are at a place where we can finally get past November and bring some real relief to neighbors. I mean, at the Nassau Coliseum, when President Trump was speaking, not only did he call me out specifically and mention how much I've been advocating to restore SALT, but he said, listen, SALT was something that was part of my tax package years ago, and I realized that it wasn't the right decision, and I'm all in on restoring SALT for Long Island. So affordability and the economy are probably the second. And third is whether it's crime or what we're seeing with victims of crimes, you know, keeping our communities safe is critically important. I've delivered close to $30 million back to New York's 4th Congressional District so that we can keep our communities safe, that our law enforcement professionals have the resources they need to do their job. And I've been fighting anti-Semitism and hate, whether it's on college campuses or elsewhere. Those are, you know, three main issues that have been very, very at the forefront, not only, you know, during this campaign, but really 2 years ago. And my opponent has been critical in saying, well, you know, the issues are the same 2 years ago because nothing has been accomplished. Well, Republicans have accomplished much. It's the Democrats, and maybe she needs some explaining on how the federal government works. But unfortunately, Congress is just one branch of this government. And in order for us to actually affect change, we need her party to accept the challenges. And some of those challenges are to accept the idea that they failed us on the border, they failed us on the economy, and they failed to protect, which we'll, I'm sure, talk about in a few minutes, to protect some of the social programs that are at risk.
Yeah, thank you for sharing those. Let's talk about family caregivers. 48 million Americans help their loved ones each day to remain independent in their homes and communities. These family caregivers sacrifice time and money and provide $600 billion annually in unpaid support. How would you help family caregivers?
So last night, after lots of conversation and advocacy from especially the Long Island and New York Republican delegation, President Trump actually announced that he is willing to give tax credits to caregivers. And it's something that I've supported for a long time. I said it 2 years ago that it's something that I would support. I voted and co-sponsored legislation that would give tax credits to those who are caregivers. We've most recently also put legislation forth to provide tax credits for others that are also providing care, not just specific to their parent or their immediate family. So I've been a champion of making sure that those who want to provide care, whether it's to the elderly or those with different needs or special needs or differently abled, I think that it's critically important that not only on a state level, but on a federal level, we make that possible so that our most vulnerable don't need to be taken care of by strangers.
Yeah, another big issue, of course, is Social Security. The Social Security Trust Fund is expected to see a shortfall in just 10 years. If Congress doesn't act, millions of Americans who are counting on Social Security will see cuts to the money they've earned. Do you see a path for Congress to work on a bipartisan solution to protect Social Security for those who have earned it?
I do. And some of that bipartisan work has already started. I co-sponsored H.R. 82, which is the Social Security Fairness Act of 2023. Which repeals provisions that reduce Social Security benefits for individuals and other benefits. I co-sponsored H.R. 875, which is the Protecting Social Security and Medicare Act, which authorizes Medicare and Social Security payments to be made even if the federal government debt limit is reached, because that's one of the things that people are trying to scare seniors with, saying that if we reach this debt limit, we can no longer pay. So I co-sponsored legislation in a bipartisan fashion, the Protecting Social Security and Medicare Act, to make sure that never happens. I voted for and passed the Lower Cost, More Transparency Act. Republicans have led on the bipartisan Lower Cost, More Transparency Act, which would save Medicare programs billions of dollars. So that bipartisan work is already being done. But when it comes to some of these social programs, people need to realize that my opponent and the presidential nominee that she supports, Gillen and Harris, they support amnesty and they support giving some of these social programs, whether it's Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, to those 15 million people who came here illegally. That's what we need to focus on. And that should be the focus of bipartisan work. This is a land of immigrants. My grandparents and great grandparents were immigrants, but they came through the front door and worked so hard to give their family and loved ones the life that they have. The fact that we are risking these programs, we're putting at risk Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare, because my opponent, Laura Gillen, wants to provide amnesty and give those programs away to people who never paid into it and never earned it, is absolutely ridiculous.
And last question for you, why should Long Island vote for you?
Because I've been a person of action. While my opponent spent her very short time on the town board with a lot of words and actually no action, I've delivered. I've passed again border security. I've brought close to $30 million back to our district. I've supported and co-sponsored multiple pieces of bipartisan legislation to protect and to continue to fund Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. When our country was put in places where a shutdown was imminent, I was one of those moderate voices, one of those voices of reason who said, absolutely, our country cannot shut down. I was named the 11th most bipartisan member of the 118th Congress. I've passed multiple pieces of legislation having to do with keeping our community safe. Giving those who protect us the resources they need. We gave active military one of the biggest raises they've seen in the last 30 years. And while I've done it, I've also made sure that I've protected New York and Long Island, not supporting certain legislation that would cut funding from our rails and our infrastructure. Protecting women's rights. I've been a champion of women's rights, not only co-sponsoring, but supporting bipartisan legislation for IVF, providing tax credits for those families who utilize IVF. I kept the agriculture appropriations bill off the floor because it restricted a woman's access to mifepristone. I've made it very clear that I do not support and never would support a nationwide abortion ban. I have been boots on the ground, hearing from my neighbors. And 2 years ago, there was a reason why they turned this Democratic seat that has been in Democrat hands for 30 years with 70,000 more Democrats than Republicans. It's why they trusted me. And I've delivered. I've been there every day working as hard as I possibly can. And over the last 2 or 3 months, my opponent has spent over $25 million to criticize me and to character assassinate me. The one thing that you haven't seen on any of her commercials is her plan for the United States of America. Is her plan on what she's going to do for this district. It is character assassination, it is lies, it's deceit, and it's gaslighting the communities that she thinks she wants to represent. And lastly, I worked in a bipartisan fashion throughout my life. I was a cop, I was a detective, I sat in cars with men and women, different color skin, different economic background, different religions, and certainly different political ideologies. My life depended on them and their life depended on me. And we worked together in some of the most violent communities in New York. I went to the town of Hempstead and I worked in a bipartisan fashion to deliver a tax cut or hold the line on tax budgets for most of the years that I was there. And then I went to Congress and I worked in a bipartisan fashion in what is probably a very chaotic place. I was able to keep my head down, and instead of being a show pony, I was a workhorse, being named the 11th most bipartisan member of Congress. My opponent, she couldn't build coalitions with her own party when she was town of Hempstead supervisor. Being a member of Congress takes compromise, it takes conversation, and it takes the ability to build coalitions. I've done that. We've seen it in the votes for SALT. We've seen it in legislation that we've gotten across the finish line. We've seen it in my committee work, whether it's on Homeland Security or in the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, delivering $30 million back to this district. I have been a fighter for New York's 4th Congressional District, while my opponent, she just wants to fight. She doesn't want to fight for this district. She wants to fight for herself and her ego.
Congressmember D'Esposito, thank you so much for your time and really informing our audience.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. This episode of Schnepps Connects is sponsored by AARP New York. You can listen to this podcast and all of our podcasts at podcast.schneppsmedia.com. You can find us on all major podcast networks, as well as watch on the Schnepps Media YouTube channel.